From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this interview-packed edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast on this Friday to close your work week. I am Chase Parm, Neil McCready in Ruston, Louisiana today with his daughter Campbell. They're checking out Louisiana Tech, taking the first of a couple different trips to see some schools. We've been talking about on the podcast with him for a while as you've taken a ride along in Campbell's journey through the ACT and now looking at colleges. So interview-packed show today because he's out of town. We've got three different guests today. We're going to kick it off with Anthony Dasher of UGASports.com, a member of the Rivals.com family. You've heard from Dash a lot. Georgia in town for baseball this weekend. Ole Miss in Georgia kicking it off tonight from Swayze Field. 26-11 are the Bulldogs, 9-6 in the SEC, but dealing with a little adversity for the first time this season. So we'll talk to Dash here in a minute. Also on the show today, Neil Stratton of InsideTheLeague.com. Get your NFL fix. The schedules were released on Thursday. Some off-season movement as well. So Neil McCready and Neil Stratton will bring that to you to talk some NFL. We're also going to close the show with Mike Young. He is with TheWeb.com, the North Mississippi Classic, TheWeb.com tour event going on this weekend at the Country Club of Oxford here in town. And Mike was privy to my bad golf on Wednesday. He was a member of my pro-am group. But we had a good time, and I'm going to talk to Mike a little bit about the small business initiatives that are going on with this tournament, what it means for TheWeb.com to be the umbrella sponsor for this tour and event as well. So good stuff with Mike to wrap up the show for a little while. But a podcast every single day brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember to get your plate lunch specials. Couldn't talk yesterday, still can't talk today. $4.99 for those two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. Go to the Blue Sky. When you're in there, you also get the 49-cent bottomless refills. I always have a fountain drink at your disposal for 49 cents with the Blue Sky. You get the daiquiri, six different flavors while you're in there. You get a daiquiri for as little as $3 and maybe as one as big as 44 ounces for the weekend if you so choose. You're going to need a vehicle, not to drink and drive, but to get to Blue Sky. And for that, check out Clark Ford in Amory, Highway 25 South, 662-257-1900 is the phone number. And when you go in there, you talk to Corey, tell him about the podcast. Because when you tell him about the podcast, when you're completely done with your negotiation, he'll knock another $500 off. So you can't beat that with Clark Ford there in Amory. Take advantage of his great deals, his 15 minutes quotes during business hours, and more with Clark Ford. We're going to go to Dash here for too long, but I will tell you a couple different baseball notes. Found out on Thursday, Houston Roth has some level of hamstring injury. We'll talk to Mike Bianco about that on Friday night after the game against the Bulldogs. The indication is not overly serious. I've heard the words day-to-day as of this recording, just by all transparency purposes. I'm recording this portion of the podcast at 9:04 on Thursday night, so if something changes after we hit publish, I'll obviously get that to you on Twitter and at rebelgrove.com. But there was a tweaking of the hamstring for Houston Roth, so we'll find out more. I'm not a doctor. I don't get into diagnosis or prognosis without official word, really. But something going on with Houston Roth's hamstring, the right-handed pitcher, and we'll bring the results of that to you when we hear them best we can there at rebelgrove.com. I mentioned Ole Miss in Georgia. Ole Miss 30-8 on the season. They are 8-7 in the SEC. They're winning all their midweek games, but they got to overcome two straight weekend losses, losing 2 out of 3 Mississippi State in Starkville, and then losing 2 out of 3 to Vanderbilt in Nashville, blowing some games in the process, trying to get back on the winning track against the Georgia team that started out on fire. They're 26-11 right now. They are 9-6 in the SEC, but I mentioned some adversity a few minutes ago, and that's because they've lost back-to-back SEC series as well. They lose 2 out of 3 to Vanderbilt in Nashville, kind of like Ole Miss. And then last weekend at home, Kentucky took 2 out of 3 from the Georgia Bulldogs. Wrapped around that, Georgia did beat Clemson twice in midweek action over the course of a couple weeks. But, Georgia, a young team last year, they won their last three SEC series of the year that was kind of a precursor. I picked them as my surprise team in the SEC, and they made me at least look pretty smart early on. They took two out of three from Alabama. They swept South Carolina. They took two out of three from Texas A&M, and then hit that snag the last couple of weeks. So we'll see Ole Miss and Georgia this weekend. Should be a lot going on in Oxford a week before Ole Miss and LSU for double-decker. So Ole Miss got two straight SEC weekends trying to start the second half of SEC play on the right foot. But let me stop talking. I'll get to our first of our three different guests today. So you'll hear a little bit of me. You'll hear a little bit of Neil. And we kind of intermingle it so we don't take another podcast from you. You get this. Also yesterday on the site at rebelgrove.com, on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, we had a hockey day of podcasts. The Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Neil spoke to Jim Diamond, an Associated Press writer for Tennessee. He covers the Nashville Predators. And also talked to my good friend Josh Cooper, who is a national NHL writer based out of Los Angeles. So a lot of hockey. It was asked of Neil to bring that to you, and he did it. So he found some hockey writers. He brought hockey to you. You can hear about that on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. But here on the Oxford Exxon podcast, after we pay a couple bills, we're going to come to Anthony Dasher to kick off our trio of interviews on this Friday.
We take a break from the podcast to tell you that the Oxford Exxon podcast is brought to you in part by Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's. She is a real estate agent in the Metroplex in Dallas. If you are looking to move to Dallas or looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give her a call. A Rebel by Marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. Lauren loves cheering on the Rebs, and she would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and buy their new one. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine and was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. That's Lauren Valick Ferris, 469-867-1734, or go to her website, www.laurenandkelly.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Now to Anthony Dasher of UGASports.com on the Billy's Pecans Hotline on the Oxford Exxon podcast. All right, Dash, appreciate you joining us here on this Friday morning. I know it's been a busy time for you. We'll start with some baseball. Georgia and Ole Miss, a pretty big baseball series in Oxford this weekend. Both teams with some pretty strong postseason hopes right now, strong RPIs, national rankings, mm-hmm. all of those things. Georgia was 5-16 in the league prior to winning its last three series against top 30 teams. What back last season? What clicked then, and that's carried over to now?
I think it's as simple as experience. I mean, the freshman class they had last year, depending on who you want to believe, was ranked number one recruiting class for baseball. And very good players. And those kids with years' experience had just basically just turned it up a notch. You add that with some great young freshmen that they added it to this past class, pitchers. It's become, as you can see, a very competitive team. Anybody else would have been sitting here this time last year predicting that Georgia would have a number 7 RPI, you know, going into this series against Ole Miss, you know, 26-11, already won more games than they did all of last year. And definitely been a surprise team, but they've got some good young players. It's a dirtbag type team. They won't probably knock your socks off. You see them run on the field tonight. So, man, these guys don't look like all that much, but they're baseball players. And so far they're having a lot of success. They're playing with some confidence, and they're not intimidated by whoever they go against. We'll see. Of course, it's going to be a little different road trip there for Ole Miss because, it's a little more lively there maybe than places like at Alabama and Vanderbilt. So definitely get a good taste of what a true road game in the SEC is like. But they are, so far, they have not been intimidated by what they've gone against.
Both teams started hot. Both teams have run into some adversity. Ole Miss lost back-to-back mm-hmm. series at Mississippi State, at Vanderbilt. First bit of adversity for Georgia here with back-to-back losses to Vandy and Kentucky. I know Georgia beat Clemson earlier in the week, but how do you think this team is sort of handling a little bit of adversity and the stalling of some of their momentum?
So far, so good. The Kentucky series was particularly, I think, frustrating for them because really they were 3 pitches away from earning a sweep in that one. Twice and on the game on Friday, closer Aaron Shunk had two strikes on here. One more strike would have ended the game. Georgia would have won. Kentucky, to their credit, got some key hits. And then in the second game, doubleheader on Sunday, one hit away with a runner on third base to win that ball game. Didn't have. But so far, I think they've bounced back well. I mean, they've got some pretty good upperclassmen leadership on this team. Keegan McGovern, leading the team with 12 home runs, 36 RBIs. Michael Curry is having a great year. He's been a great leader for them. So far, they've been able to handle it. The pitching has not really hit a wall yet. That old cliche reporters, hey, that one game at a time, they've been here to it pretty well.
Was this a make-or-break year for Scott Strickland going in?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, first 4 years of his tenure here at Georgia, he's been under 500, and there were a lot of Georgia folks were already calling for a job maybe 2 years ago. And I do think if he would have, finished under 500 this year, not made a reasonable, I think Greg McGarry would be looking for a new baseball coach. But the way this team has turned the corner, and I don't think that's an issue now, but no doubt in my mind anyway that they've had another subpar year. This would have been it for him.
SEC teams, I should say, they've handled Keegan McGovern pretty well, hitting about 100 points lower against league teams.
Yeah.
What does that have to do? What does that do to the offense? There at Georgia when he's not generating movement.
Well, it hurts him, but it's not. I don't think it hurts him quite as much as it has in past years. Georgia has been able to lengthen out the lineup this season. I mean, leadoff, hitter, Tucker Bradley is hitting like 280, I think 285 after the game yesterday. He's been a very good leadoff hitter, even one through and all the way down to number 9. I mean, Tucker Maxwell has been getting on base at a decent clip. LJ Talley is hitting like around 270. Cam Shepard, who struggled for a lot early on, is kind of gotten his game back together. So even though they would miss the power from Keegan when he's not able to connect like he typically does, it's not a lineup, I think, they can still manufacture runs. And so far, and even some of these losses, they've been able to really kind of do that.
Georgia's had some young guys on the mound that seem to be kind of growing up. To your knowledge, what's the rotation for the weekend? What's the confidence level that Georgia has in those arms?
Well, on Friday, you've got your senior Chase Atkins. He's played a lot of baseball, pitched a lot of games for Georgia. He'll get the call. But on Saturday and Sunday, you're going to see a couple of true freshmen. Emerson Hancock's an interesting character. I think folks will be impressed with him. He's a guy from down in Cairo, Georgia, hometown of Jackie Robinson. He turned down, I'm told, 7 figures to sign with Georgia. And when you see this guy pitch, you can see what the potential, what people are talking about. He's thrown, 47 innings. He struck out 50. He's a guy who can get it up there pretty well, 95, 96, 97. He'll keep that velocity throughout the course of the game. He's got a very good curveball, and his changeup is coming along. Then you've got Ryan Webb, another true freshman left-hander. His numbers aren't quite as pretty as Emerson's, but this guy's a battler. He's a guy who, again, is not intimidated. I mean, Georgia brought him in the other day against Kentucky, bases loaded, nobody out, and wound up getting out of the inning, only one run scoring. So he's not going to be intimidated by what he sees. But it's interesting, though, you've got two freshman starters going for a team that's ranked as highly as Georgia is right now. If I'm not mistaken, they're only schooling the conference with two freshman starters going on the weekend right now.
Bodes well for the future, that's for sure. What's kind of your pick for the weekend?
Well, it's again, the trip to Ole Miss is going to be a different animal for them again because they have not – I don't think they've really experienced the atmosphere. The fans are going to be getting on them more so, I think, than what other they've experienced or had happened at other places. But, I don't know. I'm not going to count the team out from having some success. It's just going to depend on the pitching. I mean, I think Georgia's bullpen has done a great job this year. They've got some depth. If they can keep games close, I think they can at least get out of Oxford at least one win.
Let's flip the switch a little bit to football because God knows we have to talk about football in April.
Yes.
Kirby Smart in Georgia, I guess they're through with their spring and they're recruiting like gangbusters again. It certainly looks like he is turning Georgia even more into Alabama East. Almost won a national championship against Alabama.
Yeah.
How good is this team going to be in the fall?
Well, could be very good again. Of course, they do have the G-Day game is tomorrow.
My apologies.
Upwards of 80 or 90,000 people are saying that Kirby's been pushing to get the crowd there to impress recruits. And so, 2 years ago they had 93,000. This year they expect about 90 with the construction they've got going on, some refab work they're doing inside. But I think they're going to be pretty good again. Jake Fromm is back as the starting quarterback as a sophomore, and yes, they lose some guys like Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel at running back, the all-time leadingest tandem in college history as far as rushing yards goes. But they replaced those guys with a couple more five-star kids. And DeAndre Swift had a great freshman year. Elijah Holyfield, Evander's son, has really come on this spring. And defensively, they've got some holes to replace. Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, but again, they've recruited to a point now where it's going to be replaced with a more highly ranked another five-star coming in May. They think it's going to come in and have immediate impact. So if these young kids can adapt and can get used to the speed of the college game, et cetera, I think this is a team that can certainly, I think, should win the East again and do that, get in a championship game. Who knows? They may have a chance to get back to the playoffs.
Kirby relaxing at all with you guys, or is he still pretty uptight?
No, he's still pretty uptight. He kind of chatted us the other day. We were at practice. This was my day straight. This was last Thursday, and we go out there. We only get like 8 minutes, right? So we go out there. We don't see Natrez Patrick at practice. So of course, Natrez, for folks who don't know, had a handful of issues with marijuana. Has been arrested two or three times. A lot of schools, he may already be off the team. So we just don't see him at practice on Thursday. So we go back to the Bus Mirror building where we do our work after they run us off. I'm sorry, this was Saturday what's happening. After they run us off, we write our little practice report. Hey, we don't see Natrez Patrick. We just mentioned it here. And Kirby gets in there and gets apparently somebody told him during practice. So we get kind of chided for mentioning that Natrez is not there. When apparently he was at a funeral, had just got back and had just returned, I think, the period after the media had left. So we're like, that's what you want to do. That's fine. So we're kind of gotten a little bit used to working with Coach Smart, but it also is like one of the things, if this was that big a deal, you could have had somebody in sports information come tell us, hey, he's at the, the thing we just get back, and I doubt anything would have been written about it. So there's some things they could be doing, I think, that could kind of help situations like that instead of just wanting to blame the media for everything. That's kind of the world we live in with Coach Smart right now.
It's funny because it seems like he becomes more like Saban as Saban mellows a little bit with age.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, we even had somebody ask a question about the tight ends and the fact that Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator, is now the position coach for tight ends. And somebody asked if that was an indication that maybe the tight ends will start catching more passes. And Kirby just cut that question off at the pass, did not want to answer. He said, tired of talking about the tight ends. And he kind of left it there. So, you kind of watch how you pose questions sometimes because, every now and then, he'll either cut it off or he'll not want to answer at all.
Chubb and Michelle, which one of those guys is an NFL star?
Oh, man. Right now, I think Sonny Michel, but I'm not, again, I'm not ever going to count out Nick Chubb or anything. And I think both those guys are going to go on and have very good NFL careers. But Sonny Michel, the job he did in the postseason, especially that Rose Bowl game against Oklahoma, I think he really opened a lot of eyes in the NFL. And I know just from hearing from scouts and guys, that, you know, people that saw him at Georgia Pro Day, just rave about him. It's not going to surprise me to see him pick the head of Nick, and it's not going to surprise me to see him go ahead and have a very good career.
Jacob Eason transferred. We're going to get your thoughts on this, some of the transfer talk that's going on right now. How do you think he'll do ultimately at Washington? Was he and then along those lines, was it fair? What and fair is not the right word. Was it? But I'll use it anyway. Was it fair what happened to him at Georgia?
Just what happened. I mean, you bring in talented kids like like Jake Fromm and Justin Fields, a couple of 5-star kids. I mean, that's something Kirby has done. I applaud him for this. Is create competition at every single position on that football team. That's what's ultimately is what made it has made them better. And sometimes guys are turn out the better. You know, again, not necessarily that Jake Fromm is a quote unquote better quarterback from Jake, but it just was the circumstances last year. Jake Fromm goes in and leads Georgia to the national championship game. You're not going to, you know, all of a sudden take him out and put Jacob Eason back in, and then you bring in a kid like Justin Fields, who, again, is a different kind of quarterback, very much into the Deshaun Watson type of athlete that they are extremely high on. They love what he can do, and I think Jake just kind of saw the writing on the wall there. So if he's ever going to get some playing time, it's going to have to be somewhere else, and I think he probably made the right call on that. So I think it's the right thing for him to do, and I think he'll have success at Washington back home. More familiar area, and I think after this year, of course, you got to sit out this season. I think he's going to have a lot of success once he gets a chance.
It sounds like he's going to be one of the guys that doesn't quite make it in time. That there's getting ready to possibly be a rule change that's going to allow for instant transfers where guys are immediately eligible. You and I have covered college football a long time. I think we've sort of seen this coming over the last few years.
Yep.
I think it's going to happen. I'm generally for it. I think you have to put some rules in place, maybe, but I'm for anything that sort of empowers the student athlete. As much as I hate that term, empowers the player.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
That I agree with that. Now when it comes to transfer within conference, you know, parts of that I'm still a little bit, I guess, iffy on. But if you're gonna tell a kid like Jacob Eason, he's got to transfer, you know, 3,000 miles back to still said idea to transfer 3,000 miles away to Washington, I think that's just nuts. And any athlete, I think, that transfers at least out of conference, I mean, should be able to play immediately. And I'm not so sure you even transfer in conference, you should be able to do the same thing. I guess it could kind of depend on the circumstances or whatnot, but I think athletes should be getting a lot more freedom to move around than what they're getting, simply because, I mean, head coaches are able to do that. Why can't athletes as well? So I think something hopefully is going to happen with this. It's going to give him more opportunities to play quicker.
Yeah.
It should.
Jacob Eason playing at Washington this year hurts no one.
No, hurts no one. I think Washington plays Auburn this year. That would have been something, wouldn't it, to see, does Washington play Auburn this year? I think they do.
For some reason that sounds right, but I don't have the Auburn schedule memorized.
I think he's not hurting a thing. Not hurting Georgia, not hurting you know, anybody that he could, if he, you know, for Jacob Eason to be playing this season, he'd been able to, but just didn't work out.
Last thing, Tom Crean, the new basketball coach there at Georgia. Yeah. I think he was a guy that Ole Miss at the very least kicked the tires on. I think they did a little bit more than that, but ends up at Georgia. He's kind of a whiz on social media. It looks like he learned a little bit from a social media outreach sort of standpoint from his year at ESPN. That's just from the outside looking in. You're a little closer to it. Is that close to accurate?
No, that is exactly right. He has probably spent more time on social media than Mark Fox did 9 seasons here in Athens. He's probably shaking more hands and kissed more babies than Mark Fox did in 9 seasons at UGA. And that's something that applaud him for, and something I think if you're at a school like Georgia, you know, you're quote unquote a football school, you've got to come in, you've got to try to create excitement. Even though you've got that brand name, you've got to show fans and show supporters that, hey, this is we're going to try to turn things around in Athens. We're going to try to do things a little different. And we want you to get excited about a program. He has been out there. He has been the face of this program. He is funny. We was at Georgia's Pro Day, And as me and some other reporter beat writers were standing off to the side, and Coach Crean was off talking to Bill Belichick and a couple of other NFL coaches who were there. And we're just kind of hanging around. Before you know, here comes Tom Crean walking up to us. He's like, "Okay, guys, what you want to talk about?" I'm like, "Well, we're prepared to talk basketball, but since you're here, let's go." So he gave us an opportunity to ask him more questions there. And it was just kind of the way he is. I'll give another quick story, too. He was getting off the plane here in Athens at the local airport, you know, first day on the job. And he sees this gentleman, two kids, standing off to the side. Weren't obvious Georgia fans. They weren't wearing red and black. Just got, I think, waiting for a family member. He walks up to us. "Hi, my name is Tom Crean. I'm the new head coach basketball coach at Georgia. Want to take a picture?" I mean, just stuff like that. He's really made an effort to get out there and just really make himself known, make himself available, and just trying to create excitement. So far, I think he's done a great job.
And that was not his reputation at Indiana at all. In fact, it was the opposite of his reputation.
I talked to a former player, and I know some few people in Indiana who said he did exactly the opposite. He was very, very cool, very offish. I mean, just wanting to a quote-unquote people person. It's like somebody's invaded his body, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something, that's taken over his personality. But he's been great. Now, well, he continues to be that way in the future, we'll see. But right now, he is exactly doing all the right things he needs to do, I think, to get people excited about Georgia basketball, which hadn't been the case for a long time now.
Well, Dash, I really appreciate the time. Ole Miss and Georgia again this weekend here in Oxford. We'll be back in touch with you soon, and I'm sure I'll see you in Hoover.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
All right, bud. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Our thanks again to Anthony Dasher for joining us on the podcast this morning. Anthony joined us, as all guests do, on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans, let them handle the details, leaving you to handle the thank yous. At Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Consider the assorted gift bags, the party trio, or the pecans and chocolate, or any of the other delectable delights there at Billy's Pecans. Additionally, you can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes, so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. We tell you about those all the time. You can get a 2018 vehicle at 1990s prices on a lease there at Grenada Nissan. Go in, check them out. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left, filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss in Georgia this weekend at Swayze, tonight through Sunday. Tickets available at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. Now back to the Billy's Pecans Hotline and switching gears, talking some NFL draft and NFL topics with Neil Stratton of Inside the League. Take a listen. All right, Neil, thanks so much for being with us here on the program. I think this is the only sports talk, sort of, I say that loosely, podcast that has not talked about the NFL draft in 2 months. I think we're the only one, and so today we're going to join We're going to join the masses and talk about the draft. I know you do a lot of kind of draft. You keep an eye on the draft with Inside the League and that kind of thing. So you're familiar with a lot of these guys. First of all, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Honored to have that you have me on to kind of break the seal, man. I hope that I can live up to expectations and what have you.
All right. Everybody else starts with quarterbacks, and I'm going to get to quarterbacks shortly because the quarterbacks are the sexy part of the draft. But it wasn't that long ago, man, that people said you don't take a running back at the top of the draft. You just don't do it. It's just a no-no. No-no, you don't do it, and it's a cookie-cutter league. Everyone copies each other. And for a while there, nobody took a running back at the top of the draft. Fournette went last year. I know there's been other guys that have gone kind of early here lately. It looks like Saquon Barkley, the Penn State running back, could go really quick in the draft. Is that a mistake, or are people finally thinking outside of the box and looking at him and saying, he's a difference maker, let's go get him?
Well, you know what's funny, Neil? When you look at NFL team, and let me start by saying, I started Inside the League in 02. Yeah, the mission was to help people in football and what have you. We've done that, and that's been great. But my hidden mission was, I want to figure out why people draft the way they do. And that was in 2002. 16 years later, I don't know any more about why teams do the things they do than I did in 2002 when I was green and an apple cheek boy starting this crazy website. So I will say this. Every team says, well, we don't ever do this, except in this one case. And they don't ever think, oh, wow, that's kind of crazy that we have total double standards and last year we did this, and we said we'd never do this, but now we're doing it this year. Everyone says, well, you don't draft running backs when no one drafts running back. And then suddenly the next year, maybe 10 of them go in the first round. What I'm trying to say is there's no model for this. As soon as you start making rules and writing them down, you rip up the paper. Barkley, you're right. And when you look at running backs in the abstract, everyone thinks, well, that would be dumb with their head. But then you look at a Barkley, who is such a monumental prospect and did so many things at Penn State and not a senior, so he still has some tread left on his tire, really checks all the boxes. Then he becomes a guy that, yeah, you don't draft running back, except unless they're Saquon Barkley, in which case we do. So I think that this guy is a great player, and so you throw out the book, quote unquote, and you take him early. I'm surprised, and I haven't ruled. I mean, I don't think anyone knows for a fact what the Browns are going to do. I think Barkley makes a lot of sense there, especially given the fact that they've got a pick at 4 where they can take the quarterback. Now, I know you don't want to talk about quarterback shit, but don't the Browns have to take a quarterback? I mean, don't they have to?
Yeah, they have
and
to.
But they still can at 4, and they can have Barkley. And what – I mean, if you want to sell tickets in Cleveland, which everybody wants to sell tickets in where they are, what if you came in with a new backfield made up of the first and fourth pick in the draft? Isn't that enticing? After you've already picked up Landry and all these other toys? I mean, come on. That's a nice start, right?
It would be. Let me ask this. So let's say Cleveland doesn't take Barkley number one. Will he still be there at 4?
Boy, that's a calculated risk. I mean, I could see the Giants and the Jets taking him. Now, I mean, there is so much. This draft is kind of fun, Neil, because there's still no consensus on what's going to happen in the top 5 picks. I don't think anyone really knows. Are there mock drafts out there? There's 10 million. But I don't think anyone would bet their mortgage that this is how the first 5 picks are going to happen. And, you know, the other thing about it is there's so many teams with muscle that can move up. I mean, the Bills have 7 picks in the top 150. That's a lot of ammo. And they need a quarterback. I mean, they got McCarron, right, great. But they need a quarterback. They need difference makers. LeSean McCoy's not going to play forever. LeSean McCoy is going to play forever. They need all kind of players. They can move up. You know, as we all know, the Patriots have 2 first-rounders. And now, I guess you heard the rumor, maybe Brady's kicking around not playing this year.
Oh, stop. We're going to get to that in a minute. I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't either. And again, I don't mean to jump the program here, but there is so much intrigue at the top of the draft. I mean, maybe as much as I can recall in a long time. Man, I would hate to make all my money on, of course, picking the draft is like being a weatherman. You don't even have to be right. You just got to talk about all the right players and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But and that's a whole other topic as well.
All right, but wait. If you're Cleveland,
if Barkley's gone, he may not be there yet.
If you're Cleveland, if so, you're telling me that if you, Neil Stratton, are in the Cleveland Browns war room, and I hate that term, but you're in their war room on draft day. Number one, you're taking Saquon Barkley.
Oh, boy, now you're really hemming me in. I mean, I think that Barkley, if you want another shot at Barkley, I wouldn't feel safe at four, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I think that, to me, you know, it depends on who you talk to. Some people love Darnold. Some people are enticed by Allen's tools. Some people feel like Rosen's probably safest. Then there's Mayfield. I mean, I'm sorry, Neil. We just can't get away from quarterbacks in this draft.
No, no. I was getting ready to go there because here's my question.
Okay.
If you're the New York Giants sitting at two, you've got Eli Manning for another whatever year, 2 years, not getting any younger. Who do you want Cleveland to take at number one? If you're the Giants at number two, who do you want the Browns to take before you?
It's just so hard to see, to know who the Giants have, you know, how they've set their board and what Dave Gettleman wants to do. I mean, you look at Gettleman's quarterback that he chose was a real athletic run and pass guy who's got a unique skill set. That guy's not in this draft from a quarterback standpoint. So what's he looking for? I don't know exactly, but you probably want, I mean, here's the safest, I think the safest quarterback in this draft is probably Donald. Notwithstanding the fact that he had a lousy bowl game and has done a few things that, you know, have kind of tarnished his image a bit. But
what makes him the safest?
I think that from a mechanical standpoint, from an arm strength standpoint, from a pedigree where he played, all those things, I still think he's the safest guy. I think that Allen is the guy who's a bit of a wild card. I think Rosen has some personality things where maybe you're a little unsure about him. You know, with Mayfield, obviously, it's the height. You know, Rudolph kind of played in that pinball offense that may not translate the same way. Jackson, there's just so many things that we kind of aren't sure about. I think Darnold's the only guy, is the safest guy for that reason. I think so. You probably want someone other than Darnold. You'd like to see Darnold on the board at two with the, you know, with the fact that Eli's at the end of his run. That's just me talking. If I'm the Giants, that's what I want.
Okay. Because the Giants are obviously Cleveland's intriguing, but Cleveland can maneuver a little bit with 1 and 4. The Giants are the really interesting team. You know they're good. You know they take quarterback at number two, I assume, right? I mean, there's no way in hell.
I assume. Yeah.
There's no way they take Barkley at two, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that either. I mean, Barkley would look great in that backfield. I mean, I think he's a real weapon, and I think he's one of the true standout players from this draft. But then again, a new GM, I think he wants to start with a new quarterback. I think it makes a lot of sense that they take a guy, given the fact that the quarterback is absolutely the most important player on the field. So my guess is they do. They take a quarterback.
Are the Giants, from what you've seen, does Eli have enough left in his tank? Is that offensive line fixable to the point that the Giants could maybe take Barkley and say, hey, we're riding with Eli Manning for two more years. Here's the running back that he hasn't had. Or would that be, is that unrealistic in terms of their ability to rebound quickly?
Well, I think obviously they're trying very hard to retool that offensive line, and they should. I don't know. Let's look at 2019, and it's almost unfair to even do that, but I don't see a guy in 19 that everyone's waiting for in the same way that people have been waiting for Darnold. Maybe that's true to some degree of Rosen as well. Those are two guys that I think teams have said, well, if we don't get our guy at 17, then there's two guys next year that we really like. I don't see those guys next year. So if you pass on a quarterback this year, and again, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 12 months, but if you pass on a guy this year, are you sure that that guy is available next year, that you really want to build your team around? Because by this time next year, they got to take a quarterback if they don't take one this year. So I'm less inclined to see them take Barkley, but again, I think he's a pretty special talent, so maybe they roll the dice and try to come back with Rudolph or maybe even Jackson in the second round at 34.
I interrupted you earlier. You were talking about all the quarterbacks. They're all different. I mean, Darnold has the skill set kind of outside the pocket. Giants are reportedly like that. There's all the misinformation this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Rosen looks the part more often than not. Different people think different things about Baker Mayfield. The guy that's intriguing to me in large part because he's got the big body, he's got the huge arm, all that stuff, is Allen. But, man, there are some warning signs all around that guy. I mean, he is high ceiling, low floor, if there ever was one, at least in my opinion. How do you think these teams at the top of the draft view him?
Well, I think, the arm matters a lot. But the percentages, the completion percentage matters a lot too. And he doesn't have that. And the teams that want to draft safe, I think are going to be scared of that. The ones that are willing to roll the dice or that, a GM who's new, like John Dorsey is, and who's got the backing of the ownership and all those kind of things and wants to swing for the fences, that's, they go with Allen. The team that needs safe probably doesn't take you out. I mean, you look at Allen in high school, no one knew he was going to be this guy. No one knew he would be discussed as maybe the top pick in the draft. I mean, I think he probably was kind of a quarterback linebacker in high school. And, that's happening less and less where your starting quarterback is also your, play on defense and, kind of going both ways. So, I mean, he kind of got he's a swing for the fences, roll the dice kind of guy. And do you have that kind of posture? Do you have a quarterback in place who can at least get you through if he plays not one down in 2018? That's very possible. Now, I think, again, the Browns have that. I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor can get him through the season. They're not going to probably go to the playoffs. So Taylor's, can handle that. So, again, that's why Allen is, I think, attractive to a team that doesn't have to have him playing immediately. He does have that high ceiling, but you can't avoid the fact that if he flamed out, there'd be an awful lot of reasons why people can say in 5 years, well, he was this, and this guy. Why'd you think he's going to be such a great quarterback,
What do the Colts do at six? Are they okay with Luck, or do they have to think quarterback too?
Man, that's a great question. Does anyone know anything about Andrew Luck? I was one of the suckers that thought he was going to play last year.
I thought he was going to be a superstar. I did 3 years ago, man. So I'll never do the I told you so on a quarterback because I thought Andrew Luck was going to be a multi Super Bowl winning superstar. I did. I was wrong.
Everybody did.
Yeah, I have company did. in that camp.
He's probably the best quarterback prospect to come out of college, at least since Peyton Manning. I mean, at least. I mean, there was like no downsides to him. Everybody loved him. I hate to say this, but I think he's a product of poor front office moves and mismanagement of the draft and a number of things. I mean, he never has had that offensive line they really needed. And I think he's kind of a victim of that. But with all that said, I could see them taking a quarterback. I don't, that's, again, this intrigue of the draft. I think it makes a lot more sense for them to go with the safe pick, which is Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame, the guard, because they've got to rebuild that offensive line if they're ever going to do anything with Luck. I'm not ready to close the book on Luck yet, and I don't know that anyone is, but then what do we really know? There's been so much shadow and so much, subterfuge about his health that it's hard to say. I think the people in that war room probably know a lot more about its health and are based their decision there. There's a lot of quarterbacks that will be available at that slot. It's just hard to speculate on what the Colts are going to do given the uncertainty surrounding Luck's health.
Take a break in our talk with Neil Stratton to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. Completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of all dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, and all else related to your vacation. Needs an expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides, no matter the crowd. You also get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. So contact Brandon at brandon@keys2dreamtravel or 901-634-8687. The podcast also brought to you by MasterCut Lawn and Landscape. I've been telling you for a long, long time now. Let them take care of your yard annually, 662-607-7773, or mastercutlawn.com is the website. And right now, ask them about the pressure washing. If you sign an annual contract, you get free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks, or a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet, $50 off. Again, 662-607-7773. The podcast is also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. They're 30 years old this year, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market and also a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find him at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. And then last but not least, the podcast is also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website, but they're in Holly Springs at 662-252-2321. Go on their website, fill out the forms for some medications, get them delivered to you, or give them a call, give them your doctor's name, and they will get those delivered to you wherever you are as well. Tyson Drugs also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, delivering local and giving you great hometown service. Now back to Neil Stratton on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
All right, let's switch from the draft a little bit to some on-the-field stuff that it could obviously affect the draft. Reports earlier in the week, Tom Brady hasn't committed to playing for the Patriots or anybody else in 2018. I'm going to assume that you don't believe that you think he'll play, that this is just Tom Brady avoiding Bill Belichick and some of that for a while. But what I guess you can tell me I'm an idiot. What do you think happens there?
Well, I assume he plays. The only thing that make this interesting are that there's certainly discussion that Gronkowski's not going to play. If Gronkowski goes away, maybe this is a time for him to think about leaving as well. In addition to the fact that Tom Brady is probably the best, has the most resources strictly from endorsement opportunities of anyone in the league right now, and I don't think that's going to go away if he leaves the game. So he's pretty well positioned to be able to go, but at the same time, he's still at the top of his game. He's got a great team there that gives him a chance to win a Super Bowl, and he's within striking distance of so many major records that it wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to see him go. So I guess therefore he's guaranteed to retire. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You can see both ways, but I'd be shocked. I think the world would be shocked to be left right now, given the amount of success he's had recently and the fact that he's still playing really, really well.
There was a lot of talk at the end of last season about that was sort of becoming a dysfunctional environment there in Foxborough. That proved to be true. I know they made it to the Super Bowl. They played another very tight Super Bowl, losing to Philadelphia, but it certainly appeared to be the case that it's becoming dysfunctional. It can't work for too much longer. To get a feel for, I mean, Brady notwithstanding, how much longer does Bill Belichick have in that job before maybe either he walks away from it or goes on somewhere else?
Well, I'm inclined to think that it's not that long, and the reason why I say that, it may be 1 to 2 years, and the reason I say that, number one, he's had a lot of success. Number two, it's a difficult position that he's in. But number three, they've got a guy named Nick Caserio, who's essentially Belichick's right-hand man, who runs the personnel department, And Casario has been, I mean, the Patriots brand is really strong across the league. Whenever there's a GM opening, anyone says, basically says, okay, who's the most obvious Patriots guy for us to hire? I don't think Casario sticks around unless he's thinking it's his time in the GM chair soon. At the same time, we all know about Josh McDaniels last year and him turning down the Colts job. I said this last year, I guess a few months ago. At any rate, I think that those guys don't stick around and rot on the vine if they don't think that their time is very soon.
Dallas do the right thing by releasing Dez Bryant?
I think it's the only thing they could do, given the amount of money that was invested. I mean, I'm surprised that everyone's surprised by this. I mean, he's not the same guy he was, and you can't keep paying a guy just because of sentimental reasons. His market's been a little tepid. I think he thought he was going to go out and one of his division teams would snap him up, and that hasn't happened. Now, it's awfully late in the cycle, and if they had let him go in February, it might be different, but I don't know that Dez Bryant's the impact player he still thinks he is.
Where does he end up in 2018?
I guess the Ravens had the biggest need, but do they have the space that he's demanding contract-wise? I mean, that's the question. Is he going to be willing to take a little bit less to go to a good situation? Or has he got to does his ego have to be satisfied and to get the certain amount of money that he's looking for?
Are you surprised Odell Beckham Jr. is still in New York?
No, because he's such an impact player. But I can understand that they would be – he's wearing a little thin. His whole act is wearing thin with him. But if he comes back and he plays well and plays a full season, he's Eli Manning's best friend. I mean, Eli probably doesn't get that one-game benching and all that kind of crap if Beckham stays healthy all year. I mean, he improves your entire receiving core. I think that they've got to keep him.
Give me your thoughts on two or three teams that maybe the window is closing fast. It's still open, but it's closing. I mean, I'm thinking when I say that, I'm starting to think about New Orleans, obviously, with Breeze at the right end. I assume it's the end of the road. He might play till he's 70. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You start wondering about Detroit. And I say that because my next question is going to be about teams that the window is beginning to open. And I start looking at teams like the Bears, and I think, maybe. So if you're New Orleans, you're Green Bay, are you approaching this draft with an eye towards the future, or are you approaching this draft with let's get whatever pieces we need to get us over the top and to a title?
Well, I think the Steelers you could throw in there probably as well.
That's a good point, yeah.
Roethlisberger's a lot closer to the end than he is to the beginning, and we don't know exactly how their backfield's going to look 2 to 3 years away. To me, you go for it. And then you worry about the next guy later. I mean, I think that Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, even Ben Roethlisberger, they're still playing at close to an elite level or an elite level, and depending on the case. And quarterback is so important that if you've got a guy like that, I say you go for it while he's there. And then you kind of worry about what's next later on. I think those teams have got to make sure that they've got a running back that they can trust, or they've got all the pieces in place on the offensive line, or perhaps they need to shore up their defense so that their offense is on the field all the time. To me, you always build around that. I mean, I don't mean to continue to overemphasize the passer, but the quarterback is very important. If you've got a good one, then I think you've got to make sure the coverage stocked so that you can go as far as possible while you still have him.
Were you as impressed with Mitch Trubisky as I was?
I don't think everyone was, but I thought, given all the question marks that kind of surrounded him and everything that Pace, the GM Ryan Pace, paid for him, there was a lot riding on that pick. And his performance, I thought, was really good. I think he's their guy.
I do too.
I'm not necessarily saying that. I don't think he's going to be necessarily an elite quarterback ever, and certainly not next year, but I think he could be certainly better than average and maybe very good one. And I think he's certainly good enough to get them to winning and to being a playoff team. I'm kind of bullish on the Bears. I mean, I think that they're heading in the right direction. And I was one of the guys that thought Pace might be out of a job this time last year. But I think they're moving in the right direction, and if they can kind of rebuild their receiving core and do a couple other things, their defense is pretty good, and they've got some strength. I think that Trubisky is the right guy there, and I think that I think the future's bright for the Bears right now.
In your city, DeAndre Hopkins just said the other day that he thinks he and Deshaun Watson can, quote, be the best duo in the NFL. I mean, I know that would be exciting for people in Houston if that happened. That team's got a lot of pieces. Do you buy that at all, or is that just a couple of guys that really like each other and have some chemistry?
Well, I like Foster a lot. I don't know how long his receiving corps stays the same way it is, but I think they can build a lot of chemistry if they can. You know, if everyone stays healthy. That's always a big if. Ask anyone, any Texans fan last year, what happened when Deshaun went away. But yeah, I think that they can do that. I think they've got a lot going for them, and they can be a positive thing. If I'm a Texans fan, I'm a little worried about the defense. I mean, if Watt can't stay healthy, and that's certainly become a really viable question, can they live just as a Jadeveon Clowney's team? I don't know. How much does Tyrann Mathieu have left in the tank? I don't know. I think they still need a little bit of work at linebacker and in some other places. But I think ultimately the offense is in decent hands. The defense is where I think there may be some concerns, especially with age and health.
What about Philly? Carson Wentz will be back. They won a Super Bowl without him. Nick Foles was terrific in the playoffs. Foles is still there. Wentz coming back from the knee injury. Foles' presence, I would think, allows Philly to at least take its time. Is this a team that's good enough to get back and be in position to repeat?
Well, I think they've done a lot of good things. I would say that they're probably the second most improved team. I say improved. I mean, they're already Super Bowl champions, but they've done a lot to address their weaknesses. I think the Rams are the team that probably look best on paper right now, given all their acquisitions and signings and what have you. I think the Eagles are going to be a very tough team to beat. But I think, you know, that's why they play the game. The Foles thing is nice, but to me, it's a subplot. Wentz is still the quarterback there. And I don't mean to take anything away from Foles' playoff run and what have you, certainly, but people forget that Wentz is one of the brightest, probably going to be win the MVP if he doesn't get hurt. And so, I think as long as they've got that solid quarterback play and they've got the weapons that they do and are able to continue to make plays on defense, then, yeah, they've got a great chance. I mean, I think that there are a lot of really interesting, exciting teams in the NFC right now, and I think any one of them could be considered to have the inside track for the Super Bowl. It's too early probably to start talking about Super Bowl. We're talking about draft, right? But there are a lot of NFC teams that I think have a lot going for them right now.
Yeah, no question. All right, it's not too early to talk NBA playoffs. I know it's not your thing, but is it just Rockets crazy right now?
They're pretty excited. I mean, James Harden is – obviously a special player, and I think the addition of Chris Paul has maybe pushed him a little bit, and the Cavs don't seem to be the team that's going to be a factor as much, but there's obviously always Golden State. It's pretty Rockets crazy over here, but it's been Rockets crazy for about a year, and things didn't work out so well against the Spurs last year. So hopefully they can take that next step. It's just you know, there's a great team in the conference they've got to deal with.
Are they only worried about the Warriors, or do they think about Russell Westbrook and Paul George and the Thunder should they beat Utah?
I don't think that they're a major concern. I think that it's still the Warriors. It's all about the Warriors. I think that now, again, they can't be counting their chickens because they didn't make the finals last year, but I think the Warriors are pretty much who everyone's looking at. Now, I'm speaking strictly as a fan, Neil. I don't have any insights there. But
no, I like this Rocket arrogance. I like it. It feels like if I can just get the Rocket arrogance to transfer into the team, that maybe they'll overlook the Thunder and boom. Maybe
it's possible.
No,
it's
not.
Possible.
It's
I
not
mean,
possible.
I like the pieces that the team has, and I think Capella gives them some real help inside. And of course, they're a 3-point driven team, and I guess they will be as long as Harden's there. But yeah, listen, the Thunder is a great team, and Russell Westbrook is incredible. And my son nearly cried when Westbrook won the MVP last year, but I thought Westbrook deserved it. And,
he did, and Harden deserves it this year. Yeah, yeah.
He's a special player, and I mean, and the thing about it, he has to do it. If he doesn't do it, they don't win. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for that as well. So, yeah, I mean, the Thunder can win. Of course, they've got a very nice team, especially if the Rockets are too focused on the Warriors.
Last question, and I know you've lived in Houston a long time. Barbara Bush died earlier this week. What has that family, not just the Bush family, but that couple in particular, even for people who don't share their politics, for people who do share their politics, for people who completely are opposite of their politics, what has that family meant, that couple meant to Houston over the years?
They're like the de facto king and queen of Houston, and I'll give President Bush a lot of credit. I think that when, you know, you're a one-term president, I think there can be a lot of rancor. There can be a lot of, hey, you know, a lot of ill will. And I think to some degree, I think President Carter, another one-termer, has kind of lived with that. I think that the Bushes never made that part of their legacy, or there was never any anger. I mean, they're just, to me, they're pretty classy people and have conducted themselves in that way. You see that with President Bush's kind of alliance with President Clinton when they've done a lot of charity work, especially in the Caribbean, and whenever there's been a disaster globally, they've kind of been on scene to do that. They're pretty special people, and I think to the degree that they can, they've tried to be regular people and you know, not really kind of be celebrities. They've tried to be statesmanlike rather than politician-like, and I think that's pretty admirable.
Me too. Hey, bud, I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for giving it to us. We might try to holler back at you right before the draft, or certainly right after it, and kind of get your thoughts on who did well, who screwed up, that kind of thing.
Sounds great, man. Always a good time, Neil. Anytime you need me, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Our thanks to Neil Stratton for joining us on the Oxford Exxon podcast this morning. This is a podcast that is brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Remember, the Moonlight Grahams will be playing at World Music Nashville next Saturday. That's April the 28th, 7 p.m. World Music Nashville, the Moonlight Grahams. It's a band, a folk Americana band, John McCann, an Ole Miss grad, a big part of that band. Go out, support them. You'll love the music. You can check it out on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. You can get your tickets on the Moonlight Grahams Facebook page or at TicketZone.com. The Moonlight Grahams, April 28th, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. This podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. Football season will be here before you know it. You'll come up this weekend. You'll start thinking about some football, and you want to get your tailgating all set up. 7 South Tailgating is celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South Tailgating once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail, no matter how simple or complicated, however basic or complex your tailgating needs are. 7 South Tailgating can accommodate you. Single games, SEC-only packages, full season packages. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South Tailgating. You will not regret it. It's 7SouthTailgating.com.
As mentioned in the open to the podcast today, we're going to close the show with my talk with Mike Young of Web.com. Not the Web.com tour, even though kind of, but with Web.com. His job is to go around, support small businesses, tell everybody about what Web.com does for the Web.com tour and these small businesses that he speaks of, and he plays in a lot of pro-ams. Got a lot of a neat story as he was in the healthcare industry for a long time, got out of it, thought he was going to retire, instead hired by the Web.com, travels all over, and really pushes local support for these events that, you know, as they mentioned during the Pro-Am party on Tuesday night, it's a golf tournament, but it's a charitable endeavor. It's all about giving money back to great causes. Here it's it is child care. It is the health of children. That is one of the main focuses of the Northern Mississippi Classic, and any charitable donations that are given for that, it goes to children very, very much in need. So without further ado, we're going to close the show with this. You will not hear from me again, but you will hear my interview with Mike Young, and that will close the podcast for the week and the day. So we really appreciate all of you. We appreciate you allowing us to kind of piece this thing together that's going to sound a little more disjointed than normal. But you you get three great guests, you get a good week of podcast, and we will talk to you again on Monday. But in the meantime, rebelgrove.com and this interview with Mike Young with Web.com. See you then.
Mike Young with Web.com joining us this morning. He tolerated my play on the golf course 2 days ago as we participated in the same group in the Pro-Am. I was assured, though, Mike, that I was not the worst you've ever seen, so that, they had that going for me.
Far from that, Chase. Yeah. You actually were accretive to the team's effort.
Yeah, we finished somewhere in the middle, I believe. I didn't see a final tally, but all around good day. And we want to talk a little bit about everything. Web.com, the umbrella sponsor here this week, and it's going to get started. I want to talk about you in a second. We'll start out with this, though. What made this tour and then in this situation overall a good fit for Web.com, and kind of how did that become a thing when it did?
Sure, no, it's a great question. So about 6 years ago, our CEO, David Brown, was looking for a vehicle, if you will, on how we could build our brand as a company. We were a Jacksonville-based company. We had recently gone public. We were building our portfolio of businesses, but even nobody in Jacksonville, Chase, knew who we were. We had less than 1% name brand recognition. So he started looking around, started looking at different sponsor opportunities, looked at NASCAR, looked at the PGA Tour, fell in love with the PGA Tour and what they do around charitable giving. One thing led to another, his conversations with Tim Fincham. We thought we were going to be a title sponsor. Mm-hmm. But then this opportunity came to be the umbrella sponsor of the Web.com tour when Nationwide went away. And so we jumped at the opportunity, and it's been fantastic for our business. It really has.
Is the hope from an ROI standpoint simply, hey, they get on, they type web.com into the browser, and here we go? What is the hope for it turning into?
So if you think about web.com, we're in business for that for one reason, and that's help small businesses be successful. Mm-hmm. We want to improve small businesses. Think about the web.com tour. The job of those guys is to improve their golfing skills so they can make it onto the PGA Tour, because I think your listening audience, some of them may be aware of this, there's no more qualifying school on the PGA Tour. So the path to the PGA Tour is to come through the web.com tour. That's the only way those guys can get on tour. So we saw a lot of synergy between supporting players get better and small businesses get better. Small businesses don't have the same resources that large businesses do. So we like to consider ourselves the online marketing partner, helping them develop websites, hosting services, their domain. And if they want to get customer leads, we can harness the power of the internet to let them compete in those local markets.
It seems, too, there's a lot of just symmetry with it because these events wouldn't happen without small businesses. So you're able to kind of intermingle everything at once.
Exactly right. And you're a perfect example, right? We played in the Pro-Am yesterday. All that doesn't happen without the small and medium-sized businesses in the North Mississippi area supporting the tournament. So a lot of times we get credit as being the umbrella sponsorship. But quite frankly, we love golf. But without the small and medium-sized businesses in the local marketplaces, none of these tournaments happen.
So what is kind of the plan for you guys the rest of the event? I know you're going to honor some local people,
yeah.
And obviously we'll honor a player too on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
but there's
more
to it than that.
No, that's right. So as the player is receiving their trophy Sunday afternoon, give or take around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to award the Small Business of the Year award. So they'll be part of our Small Business Championship Series. And here in North Mississippi, there was two finalists, one Blue Delta Jeans and the other Taylor Grocery Catering.
Mm-hmm.
And those two finalists battled it out, and the final voting was shut down Sunday at noon. So one of those two companies is going to get presented the trophy. So we'd like to give a shout out to all the small and medium-sized businesses. Those that are web.com customers that are in North Mississippi area, please come out to the tournament to support it. And quite frankly, even if you don't have any association with web.com, get out here, support the Small Business of the Year award winner, and then they'll go into the finalist category with the other 22 local winners on our tour for the year, and they'll get $25,000 worth of online marketing support from web.com at the end of the year. Which is pretty substantial for small business.
So you're going to leave here, you're going to head to Evansville, Indiana, you're going to play another Pro-Am on Wednesday and do the whole thing over and over again. You and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, but how do you get the gig where you just travel around and play a bunch of golf and do some marketing here and there?
I wish I could tell you it was strategic and I planned it out, but I spent almost 30 years in the healthcare business, retired out of that, was fortunate enough to pair up with David Brown, our CEO, and he's the one that had the vision for doing this umbrella sponsorship, so I just feel fortunate that I can get out and support the company, help the company build its brand recognition around the country, and it's real great to meet. I had a chance to go to the Manning Pro-Am party last evening to get a chance to meet Archie and Cooper, and without the Mannings connecting to Ole Miss, it takes a village, if you will, to really turn on these markets. I really want to give a shout out to Steve Gent. Steve runs the Sanderson Farms event on the PGA Tour. His team has come in here. And here's the really cool part. I mentioned charities before. The fact that all the dollars raised at the North Mississippi Classic are going to go to help children's health care needs in North Mississippi, which obviously is a great cause.
When you walk into an event where it's the inaugural edition, it's just the first one of different things, what are the main things that has happened here to kind of make them successful? I mean, what do you see?
Well, I saw it right away with the parents group. I was impressed at how many Pro-Am folks were at the inaugural event. That tells me the business community is engaged. It tells me that what the Mannings are doing and their work with Steve and Jeff and their team is coming together. For being able to turn on an event, they just started the conversation about a year ago, Chase, to actually turn that on within a year and actually host this event.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work that goes into that. So that tells me that you guys are well positioned for a lot of great years ahead of you.
We talked to a lot of good players over the course of the week. It seems like you couldn't help Mother Nature, but otherwise the course was held up in pretty good shape.
Absolutely, and the greens were fantastic. I don't think we made as much putts as we deserved to make yesterday, Chase, but that's a story for another day. But you just see how good the players are at that. I get asked a lot of times, like, what's the difference between the PGA Tour guys and the Web.com Tour guys? And I'm like, it's a
not
sliver.
Much.
It's a sliver. I mean, you played with the number one ranked player on this tour,
yeah.
Sanjay, and he just hits it straight. He hits it long. He chips it. He putts it. And you're like, why isn't this guy on the PGA Tour? I'm like, well, actually, he will be on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you obviously didn't listen to yesterday's show. I made a big deal out of it on Thursday morning because I said, you know, I always have number five, the par three, Sanjay double bogeyed, I parred. I said when he wins the PGA Championship in 5 years, I'll have that one in my back pocket out there.
That's exactly right. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So thanks so much for having me on. It's been great. Can't wait to get back here again next year, and the North Mississippi. We just want to give a shout out again. Everybody that's listening to your podcast, come out and see the great play. There's something for everybody. They've got food and beverages out here. You've got a beautiful venue here, and they'd have a big time out here.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet.